No, if you use our cult, no matter what, I get to summon a demon. Deal?
Deal. Okay, I'm not shaking on this deal.
You're
this
shaking.
Bad deal. Okay, I'm not starting a cult then.
Good, then I'm not summoning a demon.
But if I did start a cult,
no,
this is what it would be. We would just get a bunch of great farmer's market kale, like grade A kale, and we would make kale smoothies all day long, and we would do some yoga.
So are you just talking about California?
Yeah, basically.
Are you just talking about normal Californians?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jasmine.
I'm Haley.
And this is Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
Wow, we are back. It's been so long.
Oh my lord.
It has been so long, and we are so sorry. Like, it's been a month since we've uploaded one, and it's been longer since we've recorded one.
College, guys.
It really did, especially with finals and, like, just life, and I was moving out of the dorms and moving back in, and then summer. And now we're here.
We're here, finally. Okay. So I mentioned to you, like, right before we recorded, I want to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
Okay. So at work, this girl, I heard podcasts and murder. So I was like, I'm like listening to like murder podcasts. And I'm like, take out my earbuds. I was like, did I hear podcasts and murder? And she's like, yeah, I watch, listen to these podcasts, and she like named off, I forgot. So we have started kind of a podcast book club type thing. Well, we're all listening to one episode and we'll talk about it now.
That's awesome.
Me and these two other girls, like, we'll like talk about cases, and we're like, well, what happened to her, what happened to him, like, did you think it's more on cases that like, or like, wow, is that just mind-blowing?
Mm-hmm. Like, there's those certain cases that just get you going, like Amy Lynn Bradley for us.
Yes.
We went on for a long time during that episode.
But yeah, it's just like, we've been like, we'll stop what we're doing at work. And like, when no one's around, then we'll start talking about it for a good like 30 minutes.
That's amazing.
Not working. And we're like, oh, you should listen to this episode, this one, this episode. And like,
did you tell them we have a podcast?
I did not tell them, but I told another girl at my work about us. Because she's, like, part-time only for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I knew her last summer really well. So I was like, hey, by the way, if you miss my voice, you should check out our podcast. Because she's into creepy stuff, too.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Speaking of people listening to our podcast, I want to give a shout-out to our super listener, Katie. So, Katie is one of my friends from college. She lived on my floor of the dorms. And when they found out I had a podcast, Katie started listening to all the episodes, and she listened to all of them in like the span of 3 days. So like, claps for Katie. I don't know how you dealt with me in general, like just living with me. So honestly, props for you wanting to listen to my voice again. But yeah, I just wanted to give her a shout out because I told her I would. But also, we have over 1,000 listens, so
yes.
Claps for us growing, too. And we have listeners on every continent except Antarctica, because I don't have any way of checking if we have listeners on Antarctica.
It's an interesting place, so I don't kind of,
But I'm still proud. Like, we got Africa, South America, Europe, North America, everywhere. It's making me real happy, so all our listeners all over the world, keep listening, and we're really happy to have you. But, yeah, should we get into the actual meat of the episode?
Yes.
Okay, so today is like a cult and paranormal day, but the cult I'm talking about is the Branch Davidians, and there's just so much there. So there's too much for one episode, so it's going to be kind of split up into two parts. So it may be little shorter parts, or it may be about the length of a normal episode. I don't know. There's just too much information for one episode. Do you know about the Branch Davidians?
Yes, I do.
I was hoping maybe you wouldn't, but they're also so known. I was like, Haley probably already knows them. Because it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And feel free to chime in, Haley.
I will. You know I am.
Okay, so let's get started. So the Branch Davidians were started by Benjamin Rodin, something like that. So he started them and he died, and he had kind of a Jewish upbringing. So there's a little bit of Jewish stuff in here, which we'll talk about later, like House of David, which is not what it seems like. But for those little Jewish aspects, that is what it is. But it actually came off of like the Seventh-day Adventist church. So it's like there's a lot going on there. But we're not worried about Benjamin. We're worried about David Koresh, because he's the guy who kind of got the whole cult-ish vibe started in the Branch Davidians. So let's just start with him. So he was born 1959 in Houston, Texas. And his childhood was kind of messy because his mom was 14 when she had him. She was very young, and his dad was never in the picture. As soon as his mom gave birth to him, his dad was like, oh, bye, I found another teenage girl that I need to get pregnant. So basically, yeah. Okay. So his father, he's never met his father ever. And his mother started dating a violent alcoholic when he was really young. But when he was 4 years old, she actually placed him in the care of his grandmother. And she just left. Like, she literally just left him with his grandma and, like, who knows where she went. She just went off while she was 18, 19. And she married another guy while she was gone. And he was a carpenter. And she actually had a son named Roger with him. And this is all while her son, David, is still with his grandma. And she's just off marrying another guy, having another kid, starting like another life. And then when he's 7, she finally comes back and she's like, oh, hey. So that's why his childhood's a little messy. And he described his childhood as very lonely, which I can see why, because his mom just left him for a while. And he actually had a lot of like special education things. He was dyslexic and he had trouble studying. And so he was in special classes while he was in school, and he really hated school. Like, he was not good at it whatsoever. And he dropped out around his junior year in high school. So he hated high school. So he dropped out. When he was 22, he got a 15-year-old girl pregnant. So let's think about that. He's 22. She's 15. This is very, very illegal.
Yep.
Very illegal. So after that, he was like, oh, wow, I probably need to clean up my life. So he joined his mother's Seventh-day Adventist church. But as soon as he joined this church, he was like becoming, you know, a new Christian. He's reading his Bible. He actually memorized the New Testament when he was 14. And then he memorized the Old Testament when he was 18, which is crazy because you've seen the Bible. You see how hefty that is. And memorizing that, like,
oh, Lord.
Like, I can see memorizing verses, but memorizing the literal entire Bible is crazy. So he got really into that. And at his mother's Seventh-day Adventist church, the pastor's daughter kind of caught his interest.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just, oh, my gosh.
David has some issues with younger girls, though I'm not sure how old she was, but still, pastor's daughter, like, off limits, you know?
Yes.
But he was like, nope, she's not off limits. So he was obsessed with her. And one day when he was in church, he opened a Bible and it landed on Isaiah 34:16. Though, first of all, it will open up to a page, but it can't necessarily be that verse. Like, it could be anything on the page, but he points at this one and he says, this is what God wants me to know. And so Isaiah verse 34:16 says, none should want for her mate. And he interpreted that as God wants him to marry the pastor's daughter. So guess what? He goes up to the pastor and he tells him this. And guess what the pastor says? You're crazy. And so the pastor is super offended and like super disturbed, which props to the pastor. Like, he's a good one. So he threw him out of church. But David kept coming back.
I believe it.
He kept crawling back. He wanted to be with the pastor's daughter. And so eventually the pastor was like, dude, I'm expelling you from the church. And he was kicked out of the church, expelled from the church. He could not show up anymore and try to get with the pastor's daughter. So that's just a fun tidbit. Like, that doesn't really have anything to do with the cult. And that's why I split this up into two parts, just because there's so much.
Sometimes I feel like it's necessary to know the background of everything they have done to understand why they formed the way of thinking that they did.
Yeah, this isn't even like everything. Like, I could have put so much more on here, but there's just a lot of digging that you have to do for this. Like, there's just so much. There's so much. Like, most people only talk about, like, the Waco siege and, like, the fire there and, like, the standoff and all that. The big stuff. But I think it's good to go into David and, like, really talk about him and then talk about what happened inside the cult before talking about the big incident, which is going to be more in the part two. I'm going to talk about the big incident. But honestly, some of this stuff is more interesting.
I think it leads up to it. And
it does. And you can see how it got to that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, after he was expelled from this church, he moved to Waco, Texas, which is going to kind of be where everything else takes place from now on. And he joined the Branch Davidians. So the Branch Davidians were kind of an offshoot of Seventh-day Adventists and also an offshoot of the Davidians. But they're like the Branch Davidians, so they're a different thing. And he played guitar and he was kind of in a band and sang in like the church service, you know, kind of doing the worship music. Yeah. So he was like that guy. And I watched a few videos of him and he has like these guitars, these electric guitars. And he like painted all this super weird stuff on it. He had one guitar that he called it like the Song of Solomon guitar, which is, you know, book in the Bible. But he like painted all these nude girls on it. And he's like, some people may think this is a little risque, but I mean, the Song of Solomon's really risque. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. But it's just, he's a weird guy. And his band actually, he wanted to be a rock star. Everyone wanted to be a rock star at this time period, honestly.
Yeah.
And so his band played in like a bunch of clubs and stuff like that. And you can find videos of his band. And it's just really funny. They're not bad, actually. I mean, they're not bad, but they're not good.
Yeah.
So anyway, they played at some clubs and he wanted to start a record company, but he didn't have any funds or support. So that kind of fell through. And this is when he started claiming he was a prophet. This is where it gets a little crazy. And this is where kind of it leads to his rise of running the Branch Davidians, where he became kind of the head, because he's kind of an outsider, because Benjamin Rodin's family was still around and he had a son who was supposed to take over the Branch Davidians, and some controversy kind of happened when David stepped in. So he claimed he was a prophet and he actually had sex with Benjamin Rodin, the founder of the Branch Davidians, his widow. So he had sex with her and his widow started like saying that God wanted her to have a child with David, and she was in her 60s. Let's just put that out there. She was in her 60s and he was a lot younger.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So that's very weird. Now she's kind of in on it, and so she let David start preaching after they had sex, and she was like saying that God wanted her to have a child with him. So David started preaching and this upset her son, because her son was supposed to be the one to kind of take over. David starts preaching and he kind of gains some momentum and he takes over the cult in 1987. This is where the cult really starts becoming like a legit cult. All the weird things start happening. And it's just funny, when I start researching these cults, you just find so many similarities. And that's why I want to do an episode where we just talk about like the outline of a cult / how to start a cult. Like, don't actually start a cult, but like if someone were to start a cult, all of these things are the same. Like, the end of the world stuff is almost always in cults. Almost always.
It's like a cult checklist. If it's not a cult,
it is a cult checklist. We should start a cult checklist. End of the world. Separate people from the world, like no family contact.
Don't ruin it all.
I won't. That's just a little peek, but that's in like everything. And it really has me shook, because honestly, People think I start a cult. People think I'm in a cult. I'm not in a cult.
What cult are you in if you're in one?
That's what I say. I just like people will like joke like Jasmine's doing cult stuff. I'm not doing cult stuff.
So me and my boyfriend, we were just talking about, I don't know how we got on the topic of just how would we die? Like if you died, it'd be like, yeah, I could see like you dying like that. Mm-hmm. You know? So we got on the topic of you.
Oh gosh.
And we go, okay, how would Jasmine die? Two ways.
Okay, I want
to
know.
She would try to join a cult to know their secrets, to expose them.
Yes.
And then she dies some mysterious death. Or she's going on an adventure when she's like 90 and like trips and falls and like falls up a cliff into a beautiful like waterfall and drowns.
Honestly, that would be a good way to go.
Yeah.
I could see that happening, though. I'm going to still be checking stuff off my bucket list when I'm 90, if I'm even alive when I'm 90. But if I am, I'm going skydiving. I'm doing all this. Actually, I want to skydive before I'm like 30, but along with get a tattoo. What if I was old and I was getting a tattoo? Oh, that'd be so bad, but also kind of funny, you know?
At this rate you're going, you're probably going to be that way.
No, I'm going to get a tattoo in the next 2 years.
2 years?
Before I graduate college. That's like a definite point. So.
Okay.
Hopefully in the next year, though. That's like.
Serious. Like, as soon as I turned 18, I had the money, I go, I'm getting one. And I got another one. And I got another one. And then hopefully.
You know me, though. That's a big commitment. And like, we know how that goes. But anyway, let's talk about what was life like inside the Branch Davidians cult. Let's just talk about David for a second. He had a ton of knowledge of the Bible, and as we know, he memorized the Old and New Testament. So that just impressed a lot of people, and they thought, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, even though he like twisted everything up, you know? So he knew a lot about prophecy, too, and the second coming of Jesus Christ and the end of the world.
I have a question that just popped in my head. Okay.
Yes.
This man has dyslexia and just, like, hates school and all this. But how could he read the Bible and memorize it so well?
Willpower.
Just.
He had willpower. So anyway, he's very big into, like, the end of the world, apocalypse, like, Revelation. Yeah. And he spoke in the U.S., Israel, Great Britain, and Australia. So that's just a fun little point there. He converted more than 100 people, and he got them to live in his secluded compound near Waco, Texas. So they had this huge compound. And let me give you like a picture of this. This is in the middle of nowhere. Huge field. They have like a huge dirt road leading up to it. They have a watchtower. They have like two levels. They have a gym, they have a church, they have an underground bunker. They also have a bus buried underground with a trapdoor leading to the bus. Not sure what the bus is for, but a lot of the underground stuff is for like the end of the world, like a place for them to go to be safe. So it's pretty crazy. Like this compound is legit. So he convinces almost 100 people to come live with him in Waco, Texas. So, what is it like inside the compound? He had multiple wives. Some of them were maybe as young as 10. Basically, as soon as someone goes into the cult, like their marriage is dissolved. Though he would say these things to them periodically. Like he wouldn't just as soon as someone comes to the compound say, your marriage is dissolved. But he would like kind of... do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're
kind of
like,
groom them a little bit so like they don't think he's crazy at first, but then subtly he starts showing his true colors, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh crap, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, he told his followers that the FBI and the government was gonna come kill them. And keep in mind, he told this to them way before like the whole Waco siege, FBI came in and tried to like get a warrant for them. This is way before that happened. So he's already telling them that the government's going to come get them, that the government is going to attack the faithful ones, and they're the faithful ones. So that's like going to be the apocalypse, basically. It's going to be between them and the government. So they have this in their minds very early on. So just keep that in mind. He also had allegations of abuse with children. He believed that children should not be seen. They should not be heard. He was very strict and controlling with them. He told parents that they needed to punish their children, and spanking was a big thing. Like, kids would be spanked till they, like, bled, like, till blood was drawn. Like, there was a lot of abuse and a lot of sexual abuse going on, too. But people all did this because they thought he was the son of God, which you may think, well, Jesus is the son of God. But David twisted it. So he said he was the sinful Messiah. So you know how Jesus came down, he's without sin.
Yeah.
He didn't sin. But he's saying he is the sinful Messiah. So his purpose of being on earth is he's still like the son of God and he's still a Messiah, but he's able to sin because he wants to see how it is for humans to sin, which don't know where he's getting all this, but I think that's like kind of his way of saying, hey, I'm allowed to do all this stuff, basically. So yeah, that's what he called himself, is the sinful Messiah. He's saying all this and they're believing him. And there was actually, I listened to this one, or I watched this YouTube video about this girl, and she said when she was like really young, David had a lot of interest in her. And when she was like 11, he was grooming her to like be a wife. Like, she knew she was going to be in the house of David. The house of David, I mentioned this briefly, is all of his wives. So like, it's like a group of people. So people would be proud to be in the house of David. They'd be proud to be one of his wives. And the wives, like, they would just kind of sit around and like, they would still do stuff in the compound. But as soon as like he wanted to have sex with them, they would just go. And he just like had free reign over them, basically. Even, and a lot of these women had husbands, but the marriage was dissolved. And so he showed interest in this 11-year-old girl, and he would just groom her and take her on motorcycle rides. And then one time when she was around 11 or 12, took her to like a hotel room and assaulted her. And she said she just had like the ability to like remove herself from her body, which is something that a lot of like sexual assault victims will talk about. But it's just so sad because a lot of these girls were really young, and the fact that they had to feel proud to be in the house of David and like he manipulated them, like, it's just really, really disturbing. And the FBI, they knew a little bit about this when they were going in with the warrant, but their main thing was all the weapons that they had. So they really didn't even know about all the horrible stuff that was going on in this cult at the time. So yeah, that's some background with his wives. But the compound was actually called the Ranch Apocalypse, which fitting name, because they always are worried about the apocalypse and the government coming to kill all of them. And they separated themselves from the world and the desires of the world. Sounds familiar, right? But in this compound, they didn't have water, heat. They only had electricity sometimes. Like, it was kind of like you're living in the middle of the woods, but instead you're in the middle of a field in Texas and you're surrounded by cult people. So they would have Bible studies 3 times a day. So this is like your typical day. You have Bible study 3 times a day and you'll go out and you'll work and you'll help get like food, or you'll help cook, and they'll have church services. Like, that's like your typical day in the cult. And women, there was a lot of rules. That's also a big cult thing. There's a lot of rules. You gotta have control over people in all aspects of their life, even the super like things that shouldn't even matter. You have control. So women had a lot of controls. They had to wear long blouses that covered their butts. So like, if you'll see videos of them, you'll notice all the women have like these super long tunic tops because they're covering their butts. And also no makeup ever, no jewelry ever. And he told the women who to sleep with. He told everyone else, like, actually, he also told the men who to sleep with. He told everyone who to sleep with and what to eat. And actually, what they ate was kind of interesting. They had no dairy products because he said they're not babies anymore and milk is for babies, which honestly, he's kind of right. Milk is meant for babies. milk from cows is meant for baby cows. We won't get into like vegan rants, but like he has a point there, but it's just weird at the time for him to say that. But he also said no sugar and onion soup. That was a big thing. They would just order like bulk onion soup, but no cheese, obviously, because that's dairy. And actually, some people, he would catch them talking about how cheese was okay to eat, and he would get them in trouble. He would like punish them for saying cheese was okay to eat, which is pretty crazy. And oh, he also had a bunch of weird things of fruits and vegetables. Like, you couldn't eat fruits and vegetables together. So I couldn't have like a banana and some broccoli or some carrots and an apple. Like, I couldn't have those together. And he also had a thing where you could have like, what was it? You could have like apples and bananas together, but you couldn't have like bananas and oranges or something like that. It was just a bunch of like super specific things that you couldn't eat together. And it was just so random. So people in the cult would actually joke about it being a cult, which is kind of funny. They knew they were in a cult. They're like, hey, we're in a cult. Like, but it's not a big deal. Like, they knew they were in a cult. But they were also, he would talk about how they were in a cult. David would be like, we are in a cult. But if you think about it, all religion is a cult. All this is a cult. Like, he would, like, take things that really aren't cults and he would say they're cults.
He kind of normalized
He normalized cults. Like, if I wanted to, I could say, like, fraternities, sororities are cults, which there's aspects of cults, maybe.
Yes.
Like, the secrecy and everything. But they're not, we're not actually seriously going to think they are a cult, like, dangerous cult.
No.
Hazing. Hmm. Or maybe we're getting there, but different topic. But he was normalizing cults so that people wouldn't feel like they're in something dangerous. So let's talk about where people lived in the cult. So this is kind of interesting. So on the ground floor of the cult is where men would live. And then the upper floor is where all the women live. So they would have like their quarters, kind of dormitories. And then David had a suite in the watchtower. So then you may be like, why do they have a watchtower? Well, because they're watching for the government, because they think the government's going to come kill them, which, I mean, kind of are. But they would have someone in the watchtower at all times, at all times. And David's suite was just below the watchtower. And they had, of course, the gym, the chapel. They had an underground bunker, the bus buried with a trap door. Oh, they also had a pool, too. They had a pool outside. So, I mean, they had a pretty decent, like, you could have, like, a church camp here. Like, it's kind of like that kind of compound. They have all the things that you need to have a camp, but you wouldn't really want to live there because it's kind of rugged. It's kind of rugged living. But they did have a really strong sense of family because this is a group of like 100 or so people. You'll grow really close to everyone there. So they do have that going for them, if anything. But they always had someone at the guard post with a gun watching in the watchtower for anyone coming by. And they also had a lot of rules that he would teach them. So if they saw certain helicopters, they were supposed to tell someone, and then they would have like this whole set of criteria they would have to go through if they saw this helicopter, or if they saw someone going down the road that was in a certain vehicle. Like, they had a bunch of stuff that they were ready to defend themselves. They had rules. They had children learning how to use guns. They had people learning how to kill themselves. Like, he would tell them, don't put the gun to your temple, put it in your mouth so you'll die, because your temple, you might still live. So he was like really teaching them what to do in the case of an attack. Like, they were ready. He was preparing them beforehand. And that is where I'm going to leave off, because I want to talk about the actual FBI standoff and the fire and the siege and the whole actual crazy part in the next episode, because I don't want to go over time. But I also want to mention Margarita Vega. She was like a huge Hong Kong socialite. She actually joined the cult. And she, like, you'll see pictures of her when she was in Hong Kong. She's wearing all this makeup. She has all this fabulous jewelry. And then you see her in the cult and she's just like this ordinary woman. And she actually did have kids. And her daughter was actually released during the siege. So her daughter's still alive and she'll talk about it today because she was about six at the time. But it's just really interesting because you'll have people like of all walks of life that join this cult. It's not just like weird church members. Like you have people from everywhere, all walks of life who joined in this cult. So I will leave it off there, but make sure to listen to our next episode because we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. So yeah, I'll bring it over to Haley.
Okay, so I was thinking of like topics paranormal, you know, kind of, and I want to talk about the Ouija board and Zozo.
Oh,
have you heard of that?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so first I'm going to talk about the Ouija board because, you know,
don't do it.
But so also how I kind of got on the Ouija board was someone was talking about how, you know, at the age of 8, you can play with a Ouija board and summon demons.
Oh, yeah. Like, on the box, it says 8+ or something.
Yeah. But you have to be 21. I mean, yeah, 21 to drink, 18 to smoke. But they're like, you can summon demons at 8, though.
Okay. First of all, 8-year-olds shouldn't be drinking. But I would rather, if I had an 8-year-old child, I would rather have my 8-year-old drinking alcohol than summoning demons.
Yeah, no. Or at least, like, up the age for the Ouija board, okay?
Exactly.
So, like, the Ouija board, like, when it was, like, commercially introduced was July 1st in 1890.
July 1st, 1890.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Getting back in the swing of things.
Yes. So, you know, when you play the Ouija board, you know, you have to say goodbye or else the demon will like linger around.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that. And they'll just like be like, okay, I'm scared. Let's go. Like,
I'm scared. Let's pack it up.
Yeah. But you have to like leave. So yeah, Ouija boards, they could be good, but 9 out of 10, they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the Ouija board, yeah. Some people like, well, it's
yeah. Some people don't think it's real. They're like, oh, people are just moving it themselves.
If you do it properly, it works.
But and you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah. So, there's this demon that's called Zozo, and he goes back like 200 years ago, at least, like the like record. And Zozo. What he'll do is, like, you know, with a Ouija board, you try and do, like, family members sometime for, like, the actual use of it, not playing around. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're trying
to talk to people you've lost.
Yeah. And yeah. So, Zozo will do is, like, the demon will pretend to be, like, whoever you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And, like, they'll, like, weirdly know some things about you already. Because, like, you're going to ask them some personal questions. You know? And then the board will go to Z to O to Z to O. And he's trying to summon himself out the board.
Oh.
So it will move back and forth really fast. And, like, you gotta, like, say bye. Like, yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Yeah, because I want to say, like, he's, like, the worst of the worst of demons.
Mm-hmm. But there's some that you can't even, like, say their names.
Yeah, I think those are, I can't, but I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
Haley, let's get some salt. Let's get some Bibles. And
so, like, the oldest story of Zozo is from the, it was in a book. And it tells of a story of a girl who claims to be possessed by 3 demons.
Oh.
It's Mimi, Zozo, and
Capulet.
I'm going to say Capulet. And this is kind of like, a paragraph or whatever, and it said, the girl went down the street on all fours, sometimes forward, sometimes behind. Sometimes she'll walk on her hands, the feet in the air, at risk of pushing passengers by in. I think it got caught off, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Basically, like, this demon will possess you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's just really interesting because there's so many, like, you have to say goodbye, you have to, like, do it correctly. It's like you gotta break the change of like the Z to the O. Just a whole bunch of craziness. I think there's another one. I didn't write it down because I didn't think it was that important, but it was like, if it like goes to 22, it like means something bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting about the Ouija board because there's not a lot of history on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of created.
Yeah, because they kind of made it and then it was like just sold in stores, like mainstream stores. And then it kind of came back. Then it kind of went away and then it came back in the recent years when they had that movie.
It was like the 18th century when it was really popular because at that time, a lot of people were into like spirits and like talking to their family members because a lot of people were dying and they just wanted to feel connected. So they're very into spiritual things. Mm-hmm. So the Ouija board was very popular and it was actually not a game. It was kind of a parlor game.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit, but they were trying to take it seriously and they would like have tea and like do it and like they would like pay people to like help them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very interesting. And it kind of got away. And then when I think The Conjuring, right? That's the movie that with the Ouija board. I know there's a movie I think called Ouija Board.
Yeah, there is a movie called Ouija board that came out a few years
ago. I know there's another movie with a Ouija board.
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of those horror movies.
I don't remember, but I know for sure Ouija, that movie. I think there's another one with a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of also, it's very popular also like, I want to say like, the 70s too. 80s.
Yeah, actually my mom played with a Ouija board when she's little and she's really against this stuff. Yeah. But this was like before she knew and it's so funny because she tried to conjure up John the Baptist.
Oh my Lord. That's your mother right there. That's your mother.
There she is.
But it's just so not known, but for real, like he's just hell. Zozo is just hell. Like he possessed so many people. There's when I Googled it, there's so many videos of saying like Zozo was summoned, Zozo like ruined my life, Zozo gone wrong, like Ouija board gone wrong, like all that stuff.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to mess with that because it will ruin your life.
It will. And it was just interesting watching all those videos because like for real I'm like, why are you doing that? I'm like, oh Lord. So that's why you gotta be very careful. And that's the thing, is you just gotta know how to close it, how to open it right, how to close it right, how to know when like people, like the demons are lying.
But honestly, just don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it. And
I just wanted to talk about the Ouija board and the age too of just being like eight
years old. Oh my gosh.
Because like, I don't think it's that.
And the kids won't know how to use it either for sure. So they're going to end up getting in some bad stuff.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. Oh my gosh, there's so many stories of like people being possessed by him and just.
Yeah, people use them actually more often than you think. Because at my dorm, someone used one in our lounge area, like the year I was there too. I don't think anything happened there, but also someone on the second floor used it. And I think they did like some kind of weird seance where they ripped out their hair and like really sketchy stuff like that, which you don't want to offer up your hair or your blood. Like that is. Huge no-no, especially with the blood, because that's like a blood contract right there.
Yeah, I don't recommend any of that. Please, if we do use it, study up a lot. Please
just don't do it.
Please, if you don't do it, please do it correctly and all that. But yeah, no, I never tried one before.
Don't. I haven't, and I never will.
I might if I trust the person.
No, Haley, no, Haley, no.
Jasmine, this is the worst thing I've done. You can't deny it. That's what I'm saying is you can't deny me doing stuff, okay?
I won't deny you, but I will strongly discourage you. Very strongly.
But I am very into, like, Wiccans and stuff like that, so that's why I didn't want to, like, yo, but yeah, I am very interested in that kind of stuff and the whole like spirit like, realm. And
it's good to like learn about stuff and be informed, but it's not always good to like dive too deep into it because then it gets a little hairy.
I just want to try it once. You only live once, and if I get possessed by a demon, me and him would be chill.
No, Haley.
As long as
no, Haley.
Dishes,
no, I'm shutting I'm it fine. Down. I am shutting
You're
it down.
You're gonna be starting a cult. Why can't I summon a demon?
Okay.
Ha! Ha!
If I start a cult, it's gonna be something super chill.
No,
this is what we're gonna do in my cult.
No, No, if you use our cult, no matter what, I get to summon a demon. Deal? Deal.
Okay, I'm not shaking on this deal.
You're
this
shaking.
Is a bad deal. Okay, I'm not starting a cult then.
Good, then I'm not summoning a demon.
But if I did start a cult,
no.
This is what it would be. We would just get a bunch of great farmer's market kale, like grade A kale, and we would make kale smoothies all day long, and we would do some yoga.
So are you just talking about California?
Yeah, basically.
Are you just talking about normal Californians?
Yeah. That would be my cult, though, because it would be a health cult.
A health cult.
It'd be like Weight Watchers, but not losing weight.
Weight Watchers.
This is a cult, guys. Haley's just like looking at me. Actually, essential oils is a pyramid scheme. I recently found this out. Essential oils do not work. Like,
yes, they do.
No, they don't. My brother went to the International Science Fair and someone did a project on this and they proved in a lab that none of them do anything. Like, it's all placebo. I mean, like tea tree oil, like pure tea tree oil will actually help your skin. Like, there's a few tiny like ingredients in there, but like the essential oils brand, like the Young Living, nope.
Like,
exposed.
Are you talking about like health benefits and stuff like that? Like lavender helps you sleep.
Yeah, those things. Yeah.
I believe in them.
Placebo.
I know.
They're a pyramid scheme.
Sometimes science can't prove nothing on the spiritual realm.
I agree science can't prove everything, but I do agree there's something fishy going on.
I think some essential oils do get like watered down. That's why you got to buy the pure, like off brand kind, like not off brand, but like not known, like popular brands.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go to like the real source, because real, like I use tea tree oil.
I believe in tea tree oil.
Like I use lavender and I use this mixture of rose and vanilla, and I like spray on my pillow at night.
Talk to my brother about it.
Yeah, I'm not talking to your brother. Your brother will win. only because he will use big words I don't understand. And
I feel like that's his way of arguing. He just uses big words till you don't understand.
And that's why I said he would technically win, because I would just say, shut up, you're a nerd, leave. that's how the argument will end.
You're a nerd, leave.
Yes.
He needs to be told that now and then, though.
I'm a hippie. I'm sorry. I'm very scientific, but I'm very hippie at the same time. So.
Yeah. See, I like logic sometimes, but I'm very, this is spontaneous. Like, this is how things are meant to be. Oh, this is a sign. That kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very interesting, too, because I'm going into psychology. So it's like, your brain can do this. Your brain can possibly do this. But now it's like, but I believe in this and this and this and this and this and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Not everything can be explained by science, and
I think about that with essential oils. Some do, even if it's a
placebo.
It's still helping people.
True.
That's the thing. If it's helping people and not harming them, and like that's the way they're getting help, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, if someone's like, "Yo, this pill will make you lose weight." And all the person think, like, it's a sugar, like, it's not a sugar pill, but, like, a vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just thinking it
will help you.
Yeah.
Actually helps.
Yeah. And then you're like, you know what? I kind of feel more energized. Let me go for a walk. And the pill has done nothing.
Even though it's just, like, your brain saying, oh, that helped. Nothing's happening in your body. Well, wait, is that all you have to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we should probably end semi soon. But we this was a good, well, I can't even talk anymore.
A good way to reintroduce ourselves to the podcast after a long break.
And also make sure to follow our social media, Cults Conspiracy Creepies on Instagram, because that's really our only social media that we can understand.
So we're just going to keep it as that, because Twitter,
Facebook keeps giving me notifications and I'm like, leave me alone.
It's not even likes. It's like, see this person's post.
Yeah.
See what this person posts. That's with Facebook overall.
Facebook is like super invasive. It's really invasive. Like, it's always bothering you, even though I never click on the app.
Yeah. I just delete the like emails.
Yeah, honestly, we might delete our Facebook because I don't think many people follow us, and I don't know how to work it. And
I don't either. I barely know how to work my personal one. The only reason I have it was because of work, and I just don't feel like deleting it.
Yeah, I'm never gonna make a personal Facebook.
I feel like out of all the social media, Instagram is like, we know how to work it. It's our favorite.
It's like the millennials and Gen Z of Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, a lot of millennials are on Facebook still, but I don't like it.
I don't either. It's just more, we need to stop.
It's more mothers. Yeah, we are ranting. Okay. Anyway, follow that. Make sure to listen to our next podcast next week because it will be part two of the Waco. So you really want to hear it because it's about to get a little heated in here. Haha. You see the pun because fire is
involved. Yeah, yes, okay. Jasmine, we get it.
Let's end this before Haley kills me. Bye.